Now, pause right there just to say lie for a moment, because you need to get to a place, Hebrew, where you want to see your children blessed. Are you with me here so far? All right? And we clap, but listen to me. Not everybody want to see their children blessed. Not everybody got that heart. I done counseled, I done talked, I done been in families where everybody don't want to see their own children blessed. And it happens. They want to have more than their children. They want to look better than their children. You know? But when Joseph come through, Joseph said, no, don't put your hands on me, Daddy. Put your hands on them. Can you bless them for me? And the revelation here is this. Watch this, Leah. The revelation is this. If you're a parent in here, get this into your mind and in your heart. When your children are blessed, you just got blessed. Are you with me here so far? Whether you know it or not, when your children get blessed, you just got blessed. You see what I'm saying? So Joseph has a proper understanding of blessing. He said, don't worry about me, Daddy. Put your hands on them boys and bless them boys. Hebrews, listen. It's time for us to catch up with the other races of men. It's time for us to catch up and begin to see things beyond our nose. Begin to look at life beyond looking at the mirror. You see, we only want to be blessed. We only want to have the big house and the nice car. There is no generational blessing IQ in the Hebrew people. We have not yet arisen to the place where we have a heart like God that says a good man leaves an inheritance not only for his children, but for his children's children. That's the heart of God. It's generational wealth that God wants you to have. It's generational wealth that God wants you to have. And generational wealth comes a certain way. It don't come through wickedness. It don't come through hustling and flipping and doing things on the street and lying. That's not generational wealth. Because wealth that come by wickedness won't last long at all. Oh, I got to say that again. Woo, God. Give me that scripture in Proverbs, amen, 13:22, I think it is, amen. Look what it says. A good man leaves a what? An inheritance to who? His children's children. You see? He's not so much concerned about him. He's concerned about his lineage after him. And he want to leave so much of a blessing that not only his children going to be all right, but his grandchildren going to be all right. Now, I'm not a grandparent yet, but what I've sensed as a pastor is the love of a grandparent is strong, man. They love them grandbabies, man. Oh, Lord, they'll die for them grandbabies. I'm telling you, I don't worry about a thing when my grandbabies with Miss Gloria T. Mama. I don't worry about a thing. They not in danger at all. She'll lay her life down right then and there for them. You see? And the thing about it is, as a grand, you should be striving to not only leave something for your children, but for what? Your children. That's your grandchildren. You see? At the least, you got to get your little policy. You got to get your little policy. At the least, you got to get your little policy. Come on. At least have enough to bury you. But then if you want to walk out the scripture completely, put enough to bury you and leave them a little something extra to get them through the grief. Anybody hearing me up in here? You see, but you got to be thinking generational wealth. You see, me and Dale and Amigo and the minister, we were a very wealthy man, amen, a couple of weeks ago, millionaire. And we were with him, and we were just kind of talking with him, and he was giving us the game. He said, you go on that other side of town, man. And he said, you look at them big houses, and you say, man, these people working big jobs, and they making big money. He said, man, I got the inside on that. He said, a lot of that is money from insurance policies. I'm talking about they buying River Ranch, and you thinking that they... No, somebody loved them enough to leave them something. Listen to me, man. Listen, Joseph said, don't worry about me. Bless them babies. You see? Now let me take this on a spiritual level right here. Because you not only got physical babies, you got spiritual babies. All right? And as a pastor, as a minister, as a deacon, as a ministry head, we're about to start these groups as a group leader. Amen? You should want to see your spiritual babies blessed. I know I'm switching it up, yeah, but I got to say that. Are you a Joseph? Are you going to put them before you? Are you going to say, God, I done had my turn. I done got mine. God, can you favor somebody else? Can you bless somebody else, God? You see, your pastor wants you to be blessed. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm trying to grind. I'm trying to get mine, but that's for them babies. But my prayer for all of us in here is that all of us be what? Be blessed. There's no hate, baby. There's no hate. There's no jealousy. It's nothing like that. I celebrate you. You know what I'm saying? It's too much hate in the Hebrew world. Too much hate in the Hebrew community. No, your pastor don't hate. Your pastor not mad when you going to get your door. I'm your biggest cheerleader. I'm up in there. Get yours. Why? Like Joseph. Bless him, Lord. I went before God this morning on my knees turning east for you. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. You see? I walk out of here every Sunday. May the Lord bless them. That ain't words, man. That's a benediction, man. You see? But if you have any kind of leadership in this ministry, you should want to see the people laboring under you blessed. Whether you're on the worship team, the dance team, the nursery, audio, video, hospitality, greeter, whatever you do, give the people that's serving under you a chance to be blessed. Put them out there. Let them get their shine on. Let them do it for the Lord. Let them just push them out. Just push them out. Don't do it all yourself. I'm sitting there in worship and I see Tyrone right here. And Dale. You see? And it brought me back to when I play ball with them. Whether it's when we playing ball in Girard Park or we playing ball at Progressive. Amen. Both these brothers know they could hit the shot. They get the ball. You know what I'm saying? They looking for me to hit the shot. Now, my percentage of hitting the shot is not as high as their percentage of hitting the shot. But they looking for me to hit the shot. They passing me on first. I pass it right back. And Tyrone fuss at me, shoot the ball, pastor. You know what I'm saying? And now, Deli ain't going to say nothing. He's going to wait till he see me, you know, on the side. You know, Tyrone going to tell me, I'm just joking. But they both gonna have the message, shoot the ball. But you see what it is? It's an unselfishness. I wanna see you do it. And every now and then I might hit me one, Jane. Every now and then. And the ball running down court happy like they done made the shot. But the Lord showed me that. And he said, why can't y'all be like that in ministry? Why can't you pass the ball and let somebody else do something? Why can't you let somebody else do that and let somebody else do that and give somebody else a song and give somebody else a time and give somebody else a chance to preach and teach? Just let somebody else do it, man. And when they hit it for the Lord, you run down like you done hit it too. Look, you. You know what I'm talking about? That's what I'm saying, man. You know? Called Joseph to get blessed. And he brought his sons. You know? Let's keep on going. You see? Look at verse 2. And one told Jacob and said, behold, thy son, Joseph. One told Jacob, behold, thy son, Joseph, cometh unto thee. And Israel strengthened himself, and he sat upon his bed. So Jacob, that's Israel,
when Joseph come in, he mustered up all of his strength and he sat up as though it was almost for the last time. Verse 3, and Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Cana and blessed me. We don't know what Luz is, but Luz is that place that Jacob met the Lord. Amen. We would call it Bethel. Amen. And he named it Bethel because there Jacob saw what we call Jacob's ladder. He saw, amen, a ladder whose top went to the heavens. And he saw angels ascending and descending from that ladder. And Jacob named that place. He said, this must be the house of God. So he named that place Bethel, which in the Hebrew means the house of God. This is the same place where God would come down and give Jacob a dream and tell Jacob, listen, I'm going to be with you, Jacob. Amen. If you serve me, the very way you're leaving your family, your homeland to go get your wife, Rachel, amen, I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to keep you. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to watch out for you. Amen. The same God of Abraham, the same God of Isaac is going to be your God, Jacob. Amen. Come on, give God some glory. Jacob woke up. He said, truly God is in this place. And I knew it not. That's Luz. And so he's telling Joseph his story. He said, listen. He said, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Cana. And he blessed me. Verse 4. And he said unto me, behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee. He is given to Jacob the Abrahamic blessing. He says, I'll make you fruitful, multiply thee, and I will make thee a multitude of people and will give this land to thy seed after thee. How long? For an everlasting possession, meaning that I gave it to Abraham, I'm giving it to Isaac, I'm giving it to you, Jacob, and the rest of the people that come out of y'all, the rest of Israel, this land will provide, will belong to y'all as an everlasting possession. All right? Look at your neighbor and say, you got land you don't know of. All right. Look at your other neighbor and say, what God has for you is for you. Ooh. Ooh. Look at your pastor and say, what God give you, the devil can't take from you. Hey! No matter what kind of paperwork they do or whatever, hey, what's yours is yours. Amen. So he says in verse 5, and now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt, before I came unto thee into Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. Jacob is telling Joseph, I'm adopting your sons. I'm about to die. I have an inheritance for y'all. It's going to be a proper succession. But I am going to take your two sons, all right, who would fall in this second tier of the succession line. I am going to move them up. They are not going to be viewed upon, amen, in a state law as my grandchildren. They will be viewed as my rightful sons. They're going to be equal to Reuben. They're going to be equal to Simeon. They're going to be equal to Judah. You understand what I'm saying? I'm adopting your children. So whatever my real son's about to get, your son's going to get the same thing. Come on, give y'all some glory. Amen. It's an amazing thing that happens here. Amen. So that's what he tells Joseph. He said, Ephraim and Manasseh, listen, hallelujah. He says, they're mine. In verse 6, he issues out this last testament. With very great legal specificity, because he says here, and thy issue which thou begettest after them shall be thine. He said, not all your children are mine, but your issue that you begat after is going to be thine. I'm just taking them two. I ain't adopting all your children. All right? And it's going to be important because there's 12 tribes. You understand what I'm saying? And Levi don't get a portion, amen, but after you take Levi out, amen, and you add, amen, Manasseh and Ephraim to the other 10, you get a nice 12, which is the number of completion, and that's what God was trying to do. You see what I'm saying? You see? He says here, hallelujah, and they shall be called after the name of their brethren and their inheritance. Your children is your children, Joseph. And as for me, when I came from Paddan, Rachel died by me in the land of Cana in the way, when yet there was but a little way to come unto Ephratah. And I buried her there in the way of Ephratah, the same as Bethlehem. The commentators say that when people passing away, they think about their loved ones that passed away before. And Jacob is thinking about Rachel. And while he's talking to Joseph, he begins to talk about Joseph's mama and her passing away. And it's almost like he's saying, I loved Rachel. She was my favorite. She had two children. She wanted more. She named the first one Joseph, which meant adding, addition, because she wanted a whole bunch of sons. But she never got to that because after Benjamin, she died. But what she couldn't have in our marriage relationship, I am going to add her two more sons with Manasseh and Ephraim. And so in her debt, she's going to have the four sons like she wanted in the beginning. We're going to make it happen right here because she didn't get to it. How many people know that God can finish what he started in you even after you're gone? Woo! You see what I'm saying? And so he says that, amen, to Joseph. Verse 8, and Israel behold Joseph's son, and Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, who are these? Now, his eyes are dim at this point. He can't see too well, amen, because he's about to pass away. He's talking about Ephraim and Manasseh, but he don't know they're there. And then he finally looked down and he said, well, who are these? And then Joseph about to tell him, in verse 9, and Joseph said unto his father, they are my sons, whom God had given me in this place. Now stop right there. You see? Remember, Manasseh means to forget, and Ephraim means to bring forth abundantly. And Joseph was in Egypt, but God was so good to Joseph, even in a strange land, even in the place of his bondage. He was so good to Joseph that he made Joseph forget his slavery, made him forget his jail time, his imprisonment, amen? So he named his firstborn Manasseh. But God didn't stop there. He not only made him forget, he brought forth abundantly in the life of Joseph, meaning everything that Joseph's hands touched, it grew. So when Joseph saw that, he said, you not only made me forget, but you brought forth in my life abundantly. I'm going to name my first child Manasseh and my second child Ephraim, which means to bring forth. Here's a message to the Hebrews right here. God about to do a work in us prophetically. We done been in our second Egypt just like Joseph was in the first one. And just like Joseph was in slavery, we was in slavery. And just like Joseph suffered some hard time in the penitentiary, we got some still in Angola tonight. But God is about to be good to us in our latter end like we ain't never seen before. And he's going to make us forget, and he's going to bring forth abundantly. You're about to see a season of Manasseh and Ephraim shoot forth from the people of Yah, the tribe of Judah. Come on, give Yah some glory. You done been through a lot of pain, but God is about to make you forget the pain. He about to make you, hallelujah, forget the tears. Amen. It's almost like that at anesthesiologist come in, and that's the last thing you see. Amen. You don't even remember the surgery. You wake up and you say, okay, I'm ready to go through. Amen. God's going to tap you on the shoulder, Judah, and say, you already done been through. Woo! He named them Manasseh and Ephraim. And he says here, he said, they was given to me in this place. Now, understand something. We know the Hebrews people of color. We know that. We know that. They was always mistaken for the Egyptians. And they, even Jesus, feet like brass, hair like wool. Anybody see some wool up in this place? But don't you ever forget who Joseph married. Joseph married an Egyptian, man. Married a person of color, man. So how you think Manasseh and Ephraim look?
Are you with me here?
They half Hebrew and Egyptian. I'm talking about that tight, tight hair. That hair that is short, it still roll up close to the skin. Oh, y'all ain't ready to laugh up in here. You see what I'm saying? He said, bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them. Watch this. He says, now the eyes of Israel were dim for age. Like I told you, he was losing his sight so that he could not see. And he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face. And lo, God had showed me also thy seed. This one right here, this one touches me deep. Every time I read this one right here, it touches me deep right here. You see, because God always does exceedingly abundantly above all that you can hope, ask, or even imagine. And you gotta keep that in your heart. You see? What Jacob is saying here is, I thought you was dead. When the ball lied about you and they rubbed your coat of many colors that I bought you in the blood of a goat and brought you back, I thought you was gone, man. And I thought that they had did you that really deep in my heart. But I knew that I would never see you again. I thought you was dead. But the grace of God, God, allowed me to put my eyes on you again. I thought I'd never see you again, Joseph. But here I am. Before I die, before the light of these eyes go out, I'm able to see you again. And I'm so glad. I'm so glad that I got a chance to see you again. But Jacob say his goodness don't stop there. I'm trying to tell you, he go overboard when we talk about the goodness of God. Whatever you want from God, God is going to give you more than what you ask for. I could hear Jacob crying at night. Can I just see my son again, God? Can I just see him again? Can I hold him again? Can I talk to him again? I could hear him saying that. And here we have a situation where God not only gives him his request, he not only gives him Joseph, but he's able to see the children of Joseph. I never thought I'd even get to see you, but now I'm seeing your children. It don't make no sense. What you praying for tonight? What you want from God tonight? Whatever you want from God, I'm here prophetically to tell you that God's going to give you more, and you ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. Hey, God, they got some mamas in here praying for Joseph, just like Jacob was. Praying about a dead child, but not dead in the natural, dead in the spiritual. I thought I'd never see him in church. I thought I'd never see him at the altar. I thought I'd never see him serving God. God is going to blow your mind. You're not only going to see them serving God, you're going to see their children serving God. And this scripture is going to be your scripture. Hey! You come up in this place like Jacob. I thought I'd never see your face. Now I see you at the altar, your husband at the altar, your children at the altar, your grandchildren at the altar. What you asking God for tonight? Huh? Is it provision? Huh? Is it breakthrough? Huh? I remember crying many days on the step. Lord, how this going to work out? Lord, will it ever end? Will it ever change? Will they stop threatening and calling me about this call? Threatening me and calling me about this more? Will it ever change, God? I got news for you right now that God hears your prayer and he hears what you're going through. And they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. I'm trying to tell you. You're going to come to a place where you're going to say, I never thought I'd see this bill paid off. But not only is this paid off, but that is paid off, and that is paid off. And what is it you're praying for? What you're asking God for? He can never just do what you ask. He has to give you more. He's the God of the overflow. He's the God of abundance.
Oh, God, I hear somebody say, I want this husband. I want him to be like this. God said, no, I'm going to do better than that. Woo! I'm going to give you something. Oh, I'm going to give you a man. I'm telling you. Woo! Some praying for the husband they got. God, I want him to do this and be like this. God said, you ain't seen nothing yet. I'm going to make him like this and like that. And you're going to say, God, I asked for all that. But I take it, Jesus. You see what I'm saying? You see? He'll always give you more. Always give you more. Always give you more than what you asked for. Come on, give him some praise. Amen. That's what he said. He said, I'd never even thought to see your face again. Now you done showed me. God done showed me, you see. In verse 12, and Joseph brought them out from between his knees, his little babies, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. Remember, he's putting his kids first to be blessed. Get the blessing. Get the blessing. I want them to be better off than me. Hamisha, isn't that what we want for our kids? Don't we want them better off than us? Richer than us. Huh? More holy than us. Amen. Serving God better than us. This is what we want for you. You ain't grew up the way I had to grow up. I'm buffering you from these things so that you could be better, not worse than what I was. Don't start where I started from. Stand on my shoulders and move up. This is, he bowed himself. He bowed himself. Think it's hard? You think you got it hard? You ain't seen hard. You see? Yeah. So Joseph, he push him. He push him. And verse 13, something weird happens here. You see? Like Omar said, weird. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand towards Israel's right hand, and he brought them near. What's going on is he took his oldest, Manasseh, in his left hand, and he was bringing the oldest one to Israel's right hand. He wanted that right hand blessing, you see? And he took his younger one, Ephraim, and he had him in his right hand facing his dad, and he wanted to bring Ephraim to his daddy's left hand. Because Manasseh was the oldest, and the oldest, by right, should be the one to get the best blessing. That's humanly speaking. You see? You see? And Israel stretched out his right hand, watch this, and he laid it upon Ephraim. And he stretched out his left hand, and he laid it upon Manasseh, guiding his hands wittily. For Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph. Now wait, I thought his hands was on the boys. Man, how, if he blessing his children, how he saying that he blessed Joseph? Once again, parents, when your children get blessed, you are blessed. Walk around that like that's yours. You understand? You see? That's your blessing. You see? But watch this, watch this. He said here. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham, Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long until this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads and let my name be named on them. And the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Now, he's just blessing them with the Abrahamic blessing. Now, he's got his right hand on Ephraim, his left hand on Manasseh, and we're about to see there's going to be a problem. But what he prays for them, amen, is provision, protection. The God that fed me all my life, feed them, provision. protection. The angel that redeemed me, got me out of trouble when Esau was about to kill me. You know what I'm saying? The angel that always provision and protection. And he also says in the beginning there, John Leday, that, hallelujah, may my name be on their name. You see what I'm saying? And isn't that true? You know, well, what's his name? Jacob. No, what's his other name? Israel. May my name be on their name. You know? Now watch this right here. 17. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. And he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's hand unto Manasseh. He saw like that. You see, Deacon Hill, he said, Daddy, no, You see? And his father refused and said, Jacob said, boy, I ain't got much strength left. Don't you make me strength. Jacob says, I know it, my son. I know it. What he's saying is, I ain't seen now. I got all my senses. This is like Brother Phil would say, this ain't pathetic, this is prophetic. Jacob is saying, I know what I'm doing. But God, this one is the older one. Matthew Henry says that God, in his sovereignty, don't always follow the order of men. You understand what I'm saying? While we follow it, God is not obligated to follow that. He blesses who he will. You understand what I'm saying? He do what he do. He's sovereign. Always keep that in your mind. He's sovereign. You know? He's sovereign. Matthew Henry says he not only follows the order of men, but he don't follow the preference of men. Meaning that Joseph had a preference on which one should be getting the right hand blessing. But God don't always follow our preferences, y'all. Because you can have a preference about a thing, but God has something else in mind. In fact, the Bible teaches us that whoever man prefers, God seeks to bless the one that's not preferred. He seeks the foolish things to confound the wise, the low things to bring down the high and the mighty. You know what I'm saying? And we always got to keep this in mind, that our God is sovereign. When it comes to your children, don't be making difference. Don't be thinking one is better than the other, because at the end of life, you might just be surprised. Because God is sovereign. You see, us, amen, we put all our eggs in one basket. We go to the one that we think gonna hit it. And we treat the other one like an old stepchild. Why not be good to all of them? It's a better investment. The Bible says cast your bread on many waters, because you never know which one gonna return. And the same should hold true to your children. But you say, Pastor, you don't know my children. And I'm telling you, you don't know God. You understand what I'm saying? Because the very one you think ain't going to accomplish nothing, not going to do anything, going to be the one that's going to come back with it and say, Mama, I done bought you this. Daddy, I done got you this. I'm telling you the truth right here. Always look for the ugly duckling. Pastor, don't call my children ugly. I'm not talking about the way they look. I'm talking about the way they live. They living ugly right now. They living ugly right now. But it don't mean that God is finished with them. He ain't finished with them yet. Because I'm telling you, listen to me now. I done lived an ugly life before God got his hands on me. I done lived an ugly life. They used to call people to come and talk to me to get my mind right. Call your brother. Speak some sense into Omar. Oh, y'all don't want to hear that. Y'all don't want to hear that. Y'all don't want to hear that. Yeah, I'm telling you. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Do your best to love them all the same.
Come on, give y'all some glory, amen.
Because God don't go on our preferences. And I know by the Spirit that some of y'all done been looked over in here. I know in the Spirit that some of y'all not the favorite. And I know how that feel. I know how that feel. You know? I know how that feel. But that's why you seek the love of God and not the love of man. Let me just pass to you. This is how you survive that. How do you survive not being the favorite? How do you survive when people overlook you, when they look into somebody else? But you know what you got in you. You know that you got the potential. You got the love. You got the character, man. And you know the people they picking, they don't have what you have. Let it ride. Let it ride. Let it ride. Number one, put your love and your trust in God. Seek him for what you're looking for fulfillment in mama and daddy and sister and brother and in men. Because once you put it all in God, it won't matter who think you're the favorite and who think you're not the favorite. I'm giving you too much. You see, when I stop fighting for my daddy love, when I stop trying to prove myself to my daddy and fight to, I'm the one that, when I stop all that, and I got to a place when I began to seek my Heavenly Father's love. When I touched the Heavenly Father's love, something changed in my earthly father's heart. I don't know what happened, but all I know is that when you seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, then all these other things that you're looking for, hey God, all these things going to be added to you. You see, when you delight yourself in the Lord, he going to give you the desires of your heart, and God will mess around and give you more than what you wanted. I'm telling you here. I was looking for approval. I was looking for love. But I started seeking God. He was giving me that. And it was weird when I didn't need it no more, Brandy, Denise, when I didn't need it no more. My pop started picking up the phone. He started, hey, what you doing? What you mean what I'm doing? You got something to talk about? No, I just want to hear your voice. I just want to. That's weird. And he said, well, what you think about this situation? So you asking me for advice now? Can you call, check on Tara? Because Tara, you know, Tara giving trouble at the house. She been threatening to hit me. You know how she is. She beat that ball on the bus, and she thinking she could do the same thing to me. I'm going to call her, Dad. I'm going to call her. I don't know how I got on. I don't know how I got on all that, but somebody was preferred before you. But settle it in your spirit that what man say don't really matter. It's all about what God said. Find your love and your trust in him, and he'll turn all around. Listen, we got to keep going. Look, I'm looking at my time. Come on here. All right. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim his right hand. We read that already. Israel stretched out his hand. Well, we've been read that one. 15, he best God before him. Oh, we way fall down. 18? Oh, come on now, y'all. Skipping scriptures around here. 19, you're right. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son. I know what I'm doing. He also shall become a great people. Manasseh going to be great. Both your sons going to be great. And he also shall be great. But truly, his younger brother shall be greater than he. And his seed shall become a multitude of nations. Now wait right there for a second. Let me touch your understanding of God. I always teach you in here, when we go on through the scripture, that God is not a respecter of persons. What he going to do for one, he going to do for all. And that's the truth. That's how much he loves his children. All right? But I got to be honest with you. All right? What he do for one, he gonna do for all. But the proportions may be different. But the proportions may be different. See, this one gonna be great too, yeah. But this one gonna be greater. You see? So God gonna bless you too, yeah. You see? He gonna give us comforts and like my old pastor used to say, creature comforts and blessings and cars and houses and all that. He gonna provide for you mightily. But let me give you some systematic theology for a second. And all of his graces, his gifts, and his comforts. There's equality in him giving to all, but it's different portions. Are you with me here so far? He gave them all talents, but some five, some three. He give us all gifts, but some teaching, some preaching, some exhortation, as the Spirit will. You see? Pastor, why are you teaching me this? I'm teaching you this because, listen, you're going to run into some people in life that God done gave more than you. Boy, it got quiet up in here. I don't know if you ever saw him or met him before. You see, and when you do, your theology got to be able to handle that. See, if your theology is messed up and you feel like you're going to be the best, the greatest everywhere you go, you're setting yourself up for a fall. That you're going to be the smartest and you're going to be the richest and you're going to be the most blessed. No, you're going to meet people that's more blessed than you yet. I'm trying to tell you, man. Listen, I done been in some places. Des, listen to me, Des. I done been in some places, man. I done met some people, man. And every now and then you walk around and in your little circle, you're like, I'm doing all right. And you go in some other places. And you look around and you're like, you look at their church and you look at, you know what I'm saying? Well, the Lord church that he allowed him to manage. You look at that and you're like, whoa. And you look at their house and you look at their car, right? And then you get a gut check. Can you handle if God bless somebody with more than you? It's always got to be for Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, prophet. It ain't going to be everybody. But just we got to keep that in mind. You hear me, Mo? That's how it's got to be. Manasseh going to be great. But Ephraim going to be greater. Both blessed. All of y'all are in here. Blessed. Somebody say, I am blessed. You right? You're absolutely right. But there's going to be some, and the season's going to change too. The seasons too. Some that's going to have more than you. You got to be all right with that. On both ends. You got to be all right with having more and having less. And then when the season changes, you got to be all right with having less and them having more. Paul said, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. That's what he was saying when he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens. Y'all talking about shooting shots, running the football. That's good too. But can you handle when somebody else bless? Can you do that in Christ? All right. Y'all still up? Come on, wait. Well, yeah, y'all was going to stay up late if it was Mardi Gras and y'all wasn't saved. How late y'all was going to stay up? Man, we going until 12. I'm joking. Okay, listen. So am I seeing this wrong? Look what he said. His younger brother shall be what? I'm not. All right. Look what it says here.
And look, let me tell you, this came to pass. Ephraim became greater than Manasseh. This shows us that Jacob wasn't making this up. It actually happened. As we look in the Bible, Ephraim became greater in multitude than Manasseh. Ephraim had a greater name than Manasseh. In fact, amen, the southern tribes, the southern kingdom became known as Judah. That's us. The northern kingdom, all right? Now, the southern kingdom is Judah and Benjamin, and it becomes known as Judah, all right? But it's just two tribes, and Judah is the biggest one. So it became known as Judah. But what most people don't know is that the northern tribes with 10 tribes, 10 tribes, you know what the northern tribe became known as? Ephraim. Ephraim. That's how great Ephraim became. Now, you got to understand who I believe Ephraim to be. Who the lost 10 tribes I believe to be. I believe they're the Native Americans. I believe that they amen, the ascendants, amen, of the Latino people, South America, amen, Central America. I believe that. I believe that. And that's what I believe. All right? Ephraim. Ephraim, right? Now, in the last days, God speaks about Ephraim. This is our last scripture we're going to turn to, and then we're going to get out of here. Pastor, I thought you said 12 o'clock. I was just clowning. We all got to go home up in here, man. Look, turn to Isaiah 7 if you can. And we're going to get out of here. We just went through like a little bit of our history as a people, amen, so you can know what Jacob did when he blessed Joseph and his sons. But when you look at Isaiah 7, and you see Matthew Henry says the same thing. He says, Ephraim is seen as the tribe that embodies the entire northern kingdom, as Judah is the tribe that embodies the entire southern kingdom. Judah had Jerusalem, amen, and Ephraim had Shiloh. Amen. I don't know if y'all heard of Shiloh in the Bible. Amen. The first king of the northern tribes was from Ephraim, Jeroboam. The judge after Moses, Joshua, was from the tribe of Ephraim. Amen. In Isaiah 7 and 13, and we're going to get out of here. Amen. Let me get my scripture right. Isaiah 7. I hear you. I hear you. Isaiah 7 and 13. All right. Let me see. Brent, I hope I got it right. Oh, goodness. Brent, I'm in trouble. I can't read my handwriting, and I put 7. That's not it. That's the one that talk about Emmanuel? Oh, no, Brent, that's not the right one, Brent. Let me do it by memory then. The Lord sing. In Isaiah, he said in the last days he going to do a work in Judah and in Ephraim. That's what he's saying. And he tells us in his word, I think the Holy Ghost just told me what it's saying. He tells me in his word, amen. Yes, look at 7. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Look at 7, amen. Watch this. Hallelujah. Oh, that's not it. It had the same words in it, but that's not it. But what he says in Isaiah that Ephraim and Judah going to come together in the last days. That they're going to unite. You say, Pastor, how is that possible if the 10 tribes are lost? They're not lost. Amen. God knows exactly where they at. Anybody hear me up in here? Just like he know where my text at that I'm looking for, he know exactly where Ephraim and the other 10 tribes are. He says that the jealousy, the envy of Ephraim going to cease. Thank you, Lord. And the vexation of Judah going to cease. And they're going to come together. And they're going to run the enemies out of Philistia, Edom, and Moab from the land of Israel. And God says he's going to make a highway. He's going to make a highway through the sea like he did the first time in the first Egypt. And Israel, amen, united again. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, God. That's a good one. First lady, what you talking about, first lady? First, let me see. She always trying to play like she know the scriptures better than me. I'm telling you, she always doing that. You know somebody that say, oh, the scripture right here. And guess what? Don't try to say it's Tyra. Tyra don't know her Bible. That's you. That's what it is. We're going to talk when we get home. So that's what it is. That's what it is. And where is that base? 7 what? 11? I'm still on 7. Why would I say 7-11? Why? What is that? Oh, spirit of Mardi Gras. 11 and 13. Hallelujah. Help me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, pretty. Hallelujah. Watch this. He says, and you could tell, I was in line. I was quoting you the scripture. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart. Now, in this text is about him raising up the branch out of Jesse. This is all about the new covenant. Jesus is the last days. This ain't something that done happened already. This is something that's yet to come. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Oh, God, what's happening in the earth? Huh? All the enemies that's holding Judah down, what they say? Cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. They're not going to fight against each other no more. Amen. They're going to work together. Amen. Put that in the NLT, Brent, if you can. I know I done gave you some trouble here. Amen. But in the NLT, if you can, amen, it says it in such a beautiful way. And while they're getting that together, amen, I want to talk to our people of color, our Hebrew people. You see, don't treat the Latino people bad, no. Don't treat the Native Americans bad, no. Don't do that. In fact, the time is coming where we gonna become one. Can I prophesy here for a moment? One in vote. One in spending power. One in political, economic, one in everything. You're not understanding what will happen if Israel come together again. Their God will command the blessing. If Ephraim, the leader of the 10 tribes, and Judah, the leader of the southern tribe, come together again, I'm telling you, the world ain't ready for that. He says, hallelujah, then at last the jealousy between Israel, that's Ephraim, the 10 tribes, and who? And Judah will end. We ain't tripping with one another no more. You see? They will not be rivals anymore. You see? You see? Now I'm going, let's see. Brent, give me the next verse. Watch this. Hey, God. They will join forces to swoop down on Philistia to the west. Together they will attack and plunder the nations to the east. They will occupy the lands of Edom and Moab, and Ammon will obey them. Why you don't know when you got friends around you? Why you talking about them people? Why you acting like they're not Israel? Why you clowning them and clowning their language and all that stuff? Like, what is wrong with you, Judah? You ain't never been stepped on. You ain't been down before. You've been down all your life. You don't know how to treat a stranger when you yourself have been a stranger. What's wrong with you, Jew? You got to love them people, man. Native Americans, Latinos, that's your brothers, man. And you don't know it, but your prophet telling you, a day gonna come when y'all gonna lean on one another. Y'all gonna lean on one another. Y'all gonna lean on one another. I'm trying to tell you what, listen now. And I done been in a relationship with amigo, know what I'm talking about? No, we call him amigo, he not a Latino, he black. Just watch when he talk. He black. Listen. But when them people love you, they love you, boom. You ain't never open up and give them a chance. When them people love you, they love you. But we got some people that, listen, man, we're going to die in the trenches with them, man. You see? Yeah. While the whole world going to hell in a handbasket, Israel going to rise again. Judah going to roar, and Ephraim going to gather the other 10 tribes, and they're going to join forces. Let's have a word of prayer. God, we thank you so much for a rhema word. We give you praise for keeping us out a little late on Mardi Gras. We thank you, God, that you not only show us what was and what is, but you tell us what is to come. I just want to pray a prophetic blessing over Ephraim right now, over Mexico and Central America and Southern, South America, God, over the islands as well, O King. Those that's being ravaged by, amen, poverty and illegal narcotics and drug sales, God. Same idolatry that was in the northern tribes during the days of Jeroboam, they still seem to be in the land of Ephraim. And Judah prays for them now. We pray, God, that you would set the captives free. We pray that they would no longer bow to the mother of Guadalupe or any other thing, but that they would bow the knee to Yahweh again. As you are waking us up, wake them up. As you've shown us who we are, show them who they are. And Father, if you have to use our voice, if you have to use our words, if you have to use our money, use us, King. We are ready not just for the southern tribe to be awakened, we are ready for the northern tribes as well. We know, God, that men can't find the northern tribes, but you know where they are. Now, King, unify them with us. Bring them back to us, God. Let us work together. Let us live together. Let us worship together again, O King. Let us vote together. Let us spend our money together, Daddy. We want to be Israel again, Daddy. So show us and send us our lost brethren. We thank you for them. And we thank you for the time and the word tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, give y'all some glory. Come on, give him some glory.